Let's go. Secret stress. The stress that comes from keeping secrets. Say that with me. Secret stress. The stress that comes from keeping secrets. One more time. Secret stress. The stress that comes from keeping secrets. So what are we going to do over the next several weeks? We're going to look in the Bible at real people, and we're going to see the stress in their life. And we're going to see how they handled it. It's not a one-time message fix-all. No! We're going to learn over several weeks maybe some keys to handling stress in our life. How's that sound? But real people that God chose to pull the curtain back and let us look into their life. So let's do it this morning. Here we go, Raj. We'll go to 1 Samuel chapter 1. Now, there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim. I'm so glad I'm from Rockingham. Amen. Of Mount Ephraim. His name was Elkanah. Now that's how you say it if you're a southerner. Elkanah. He was the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, or Elihu, the son of Tohu. I'm so glad. I got to read these names and I'll be done here in a minute. The son of Zoph. I sort of like that name. An Ephrathite. So this man, Elkanah, say Elkanah. This man, Elkanah, had how many wives? My stress barometer just went off. Ding, 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 ding. It just went off. I'm reading the Bible and going like, the name of the one was who? Hannah. And the name of the other one was Peninnah. Peninnah. And Peninnah had children. So two women married the same man. Peninnah had young'uns. We'll find out later she had a bunch of them. She's just popping out these babies. Excuse me. Y'all have missed me, haven't you? Nice Bill Federer would never talk this way. He's such a nice fella, ain't he? Anyway. But Hannah had what? She had no children. Can you feel the stress? Already. Man has two wives. One can have children like nobody's business. Left and right. But Hannah can't have none. Are you feeling it? Yes or no? I'm feeling the stress. Keep looking. See what we can find. Title of my message is Hannah's Desperation. Hannah's Desperation. Stress can hurt you deeply. I think some of the health problems that I've experienced over the last 10 years are a direct result of stress in my life. I never believed it. I'm tough. I was a ball player. I was playing ball up until I was age 40. I'm talking about competitive type softball. And every time I got up, if it didn't go out, I was still disappointed, just like a kid. The only reason I quit playing ball was because we started Fellowship Church and I couldn't get hurt. I was it, basically. So I just put it aside and I quit. I went into cycling, rode my bike from Inglewood all the way to Key West. I'd never hardly ridden a bicycle. I'm going to tell you right now, that hurts your rear end. I'm just going to tell you. I loaded my bike and flew it on a plane, wrapped it in saran wrap. They thought I was an idiot when I got to the Denver airport, and there's my bicycle in different pieces in saran wrap. I put it back together. I borrowed scissors from a lady at the counter, cut my saran wrap off, put my bike back together, and I drove the thing across the Rockies. Boy, and then it seemed like, boom, my health started going downhill. The church was just coming out of the ground. A lot of stress. Are y'all hearing me or not? Somebody asked me recently to help them with some ideas for fundraising. And I thought about it, and I gave them a little bit of advice and a little bit of help. But you know what really happened? It made me think, wow. I can't believe we did what we did for the glory of God. Amen. Come on, let's praise the Lord. Come on, this is crazy. I'm just trying to help them raise a few thousand dollars in this. And I look back and, wow, this is nuts. I'm just saying there's stress involved. And then the family crap that I went through. Stress. Y'all hear me? I know you're flashing your light. You're stressing me out. No, I love him. He loves that little light he's got. So stress. So Hannah is desperate. She is desperate. And you'll see it as we come on with this story now. Here we go from the Bible. This man Elkanah, he had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. We already saw that. There was a mess in his family. That's just a mess right there. That's just a mess. That's all it is. It was a cultural thing during that day. You could do it. You could get by with it. I don't give a hoot. It's still a mess. You can call it what you want to call it. It's a mess. I think most secrets are kept to cover up family mess. I think number one, if you ever go on Family Feud, well, it's the number one thing that people do to cover up secrets. Their family, cover up the family. Yeah, that's the number one answer. We don't want our family hurt, or we don't want people to think our family ain't got to act together, you know, et cetera. Yes or no? The most healing thing for me in my life, I didn't like it, was for me to have to press on and to actually get up in front of Fellowship Church on a weekly basis, pert near naked, as far as the pain in my life and what I was going through. It was something I could not cover up and something I could not hide any longer. And guess what? The Lord used that to free me and to bring incredible healing in my life. Doesn't mean the body ain't suffered through it, but my spirit has been lifted. Did you hear me? So, family, we cover up stuff. So Hannah, here's the story. She couldn't have children. We saw that already. Peninnah had several children. Are you kidding me? Hannah was what, though? Say that with me. Hannah was what? She was especially loved by her husband. Now, we're not here to argue today about should he had two wives. I already said he shouldn't have. It was allowed. It was permissible. It was culture, etc. Blah, blah, blah. But the Bible tells us what happened. This man, Elkanah, he went up yearly out of his city to worship. This is what they did. And to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh. And the two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. We're not going to talk about these two jokers, even though they were quite characters. When the time was that Elkanah offered his offering, keep with me now, don't lose it. He gave to Peninnah his wife and all her sons and her what? Tells you they got at least four. Could be a lot more. Gave them portions. Here's what we have an offering now. We're going to the temple. Here's your mess. Boom, 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 boom. But unto Hannah, what did he give Hannah as far as the offering? He gave her a what? Gave her a worthy portion. The idea is he gave her quite a bit more maybe than he gave Peninnah. Because she didn't have no young'uns. But it says why he did it. Say it with me. For he what? He loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. The Lord had shut up her womb. She was not able to have children. Are you feeling the stress? Maybe I'm making it too nice. I don't know. Very stressful. Guys, I'm not a woman. It's my message. So I don't know the pain of not being able to have a child. I have no idea. I have no idea what it would be like to want to have a baby, but you could not have a baby. That's all you want is to have a baby. As a woman, I have no idea what that stress is like. But I'm sure in this room there are. Watching online, radio, a lot of stress there. Did you hear me? Seeing other people have them and you don't. What would even be worse? Being in a marriage, I think, to a man who has another wife, and just every day you watching them children. and watching how she interacts and how the husband, and you're just left out in the cold, aren't you? It's pretty tough. Now the stress gets picked up even more in this story. So here's Hannah. She can't have a kid. That just kills her. Kills her. I want to say something else. It's different. It's different today than it was back then. It's still horribly painful if you can't have a child today. But back in those days, you were looked at as an outcast. There must be sin in your life. See, that's why I have such a big problem with the charismatic movement. Because so many of them teach if you don't get your healing, it's your fault. You ain't done enough. You ain't prayed enough. You ain't fasted enough. You ain't given enough to the TV preacher. I want to bust them in the face when they talk like that. Excuse me. You don't know what you're doing to people. You're hurting people. Back in the day, they used to tell women that. I got to hush and calm down. You're not right with God. You don't come to the temple enough. You don't pray right. Did you hear me? So a lot of stress. Are you feeling it? I hope you are. Now here's the other thing. Hannah was especially despised by who? The woman who's just having babies like ever a year. And her adversary. Say adversary. 1 Peter 5, 7, 8 says, cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. All right? And it says that we have an adversary, the devil, who goes about as a what? The Bible actually calls this woman Peninnah her what? Adversary. This was a very stressful home, stressful situation. It'd be hard enough to live under the situation if everybody had babies. But this woman, Peninnah, was her adversary and did what to Hannah? Did what? Provoked her what? It'd have been bad enough if it said just provoked. But provoked her sore. That means nonstop. For to make her what? What's another word you think would fit there? Stressed out. To make her what? Stressed out. Push her buttons. Stress her out. Watch your veins pop in her head. Watch her run away and cry. Amen. Make her miserable so that Elkanah, her husband, couldn't even probably be with her or spend any time with her because she was an emotional basket case. Her life was miserable because the Lord had shut up her womb. I bet you she said that a bunch of times. I'm right with God. You're not. You know what? I have a real problem with churches that say stuff like that. I do. I believe the Bible. I believe in Jesus, as firm as all get out. You can't be saved without Jesus. But that doesn't give you a right to think you're better than somebody. Churches do that. I'm amazed what some people post online. You've got your name there and you post stuff. I saw one this week. A fellow that came into my face this week. Got in my face. Crazy. I figured he had some problem with the law. He sure does. But I looked at some of his stuff he puts out. Such a solid believer in Jesus. Putting people down online. I don't like that. Did y'all hear me, yes or no? If you do that, don't say nothing about Fellowship Church that you come here. Did you hear me, yes or no? That's what Peninnah was doing. I'm all spiritual. You can't have babies. Just messing with her mind. And she did so how? Year after what? Huh! I couldn't take this but like for like a few days. When she went to the house of the Lord, she provoked her where? At the house of the Lord. Have you ever heard of churches having problems? We don't come here on a Sunday morning to get provoked by somebody. Did you hear me? We come here to hear God's word, to worship the Lord, to love on each other. There's a lot of people in this room that's full of stress, and they need this to be a good place in their week. Amen. I want it to be the best place in your week. I want it to be the very best place in your week. When you come on the first day of the week, early on a Sunday morning, on the Lord's Day, I want you to think, boy, this is the best day. This is the best part of my week. I'm going to have me a good week. Praise the Lord. I'm going to have me a good week. I know I'm talking. Roger's going to wonder if I'm ever going to get done. Hannah was grieved. She was sick in her soul. I'm going to sit down just a bit. Alex told me, he said, Pastor, you might not should speak on stress as you're just coming back. Therefore, Hannah wept, and she didn't what? Can we just be honest this morning, please? How many, looking back on your life, there was a stressful time in your life, and it was so hard, you cried, and you couldn't eat? Let me see some hands. I cried, and I couldn't eat. That was me. When you go through horrible times in family and you lose a lot of weight, they call that the divorce diet. Did you know that? That's what it's called. It's stressful, isn't it? Say, it hurts. And then the church don't help none. Church to deal with still today, making people that have gone through marital problems and divorce, make them feel like second-class citizens. You know what I call them? Panana. Somebody ever does that, do you remember that name? You ought to write it down. Panana. And maybe they'll go read their Bible that they so all into. Amen. Say. That's what she was doing. She couldn't eat. And her husband, Elkanah, said to her, Honey, why are you crying? I think he should be hit upside the head too. By asking such a dumb question. Amen. Say. Why are you eating? Why are you not eating? It just gets worse. He needs to shut up. Why is your heart grieved? And this is the part. Am I not better to you than 10 sons? And here would be my answer. I'd have probably cussed, but I ain't going to do it. I would have went, heck no. No, you ain't, since you ask. So he ain't making it any better. He's trying, though, ain't he? Hannah's desperation. Hannah. What does her name mean? Say it with me. The name Hannah means what? Grace or favor. Now, we've got to get to the points we need to make. Her name seems to mean the exact opposite of the situation she was facing. So many Christians, believers in Christ, still have a hard life. I thought it was supposed to get better. I thought it was going to be better. Here's the deal. He said we're going to suffer persecution. He said there's going to be hard times in our life. Just somebody else made up that you're supposed to have this great life all the time. That's not the scriptures. He said stuff like this, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Yes or no? All things work together for good to them that love God. Didn't mean it's all going to get better overnight, but you hang in there. God's going to help you. Amen. Say. But her name seems to mean the opposite of her life. She was barren on purpose. God did it. The Lord shut up her womb. I have no idea why certain people can have children and certain ones can't. I know sometimes it's physiological. It's part of the makeup of the body. I don't understand. All I know is it must be very painful to not be able to. Because of this, she became what? She became what? Because the Lord shut up her womb. She grew up under that same religious culture. I must be an outcast. I must be no good. My name means favor or grace, but really it doesn't, because I'm not that person. I've got a persecutor in my very own home. My husband's trying to talk like a crazy man. Am I not enough for you, honey? Look at what Hannah did. So what'd she do? She got desperate. Now, stress can do that, but this secret stress, I guess that's what I want you to see. This was all secret. Now, we know it because it's in the Bible. But the family next door didn't know it. The priests didn't know what they were going through. You understand? Secret stress. So Hannah rose up. She's desperate. After they had eaten in Shiloh, here she is making that offering. After they had drunk, not drunk like drunk, but after they had had their meal, etc. Now Eli the priest, here's the priest, say preacher. One more time. So the preacher sat on a seat by the post of the temple. See, this is his church. Come on in. So she rose up. Say that with me. She what? So how do you deal with secret stress in your life? That's just one little point. You got to get up. You got to get up. You got to do something. You got to make a little movement, baby. Make a little movement towards the Lord. Just a little bit. I'm not saying it's going to be a giant leap, but rise on up. Now, don't just lay down in that hole. Don't just lay down there. Just, it takes just a little. Say little. Just a little movement. Faith the grain of the size of a mustard seed, Jesus said. Amen. Little movement. And Hannah was in bitterness of soul. I don't know how you could say anything more graphic to how bad her heart was and her gut was and her life was. She was in what kind of bitterness of soul? You fill in the blank with any words you want. It'll fill in right in that spot. And she prayed unto the Lord, and she did what? So here's Hannah. How is she dealing with that secret stress? Well, she's rising up now, and she's taking it to the Lord. Did you hear me? This isn't just studying the Bible. This is about your life and my life today. So she prayed and wept. So we saw her rise up. Now she's praying. It's not some little, now I lay me down to sleep. How many, when you went through the crap of your life, your prayers didn't sound like the church prayers? Let me see some hands. They just didn't sound like, they didn't sound the same English, was it? Say. There were many times during my struggle that I rolled up on a ball in the floor on my third floor at my house that I used to have that overlooked the water. And I would get right in that room. That was my son's room. If you've been to that house, had a little boat bed that we'd made in that house. I got on my face, rolled up in a ball, and just cried. And I didn't even know how to say anything. I think that's what Hannah's doing. And Hannah vowed a vow. She made a commitment to God. Say commitment. So we're seeing something. She's dealing with some of the stress. Wait a minute. She what? She rose up and she's praying, but not some lay me down to sleep prayer. She's just opening up her guts, letting the guts fall out. Getting real. And now she's making some kind of commitment to the Lord. She says, Lord, if you'll indeed look on the affliction of your handmaid and remember me and don't forget me, but if you'll give your handmaid a man child, this is just the way she's talking, I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. I will give this child back to you. And no razor is going to come upon his head. Now, what does that mean? There was a certain lifestyle that a man given to the Lord could live. It was the Nazarite way of living. No razor would come to his head. He'd be set apart. He would not have anything to do with any dead bodies, any dead animals. He also would, a lot of commitments. No wine, none of that. Got it? She said, I'm going to give him to be separated unto you. If you'll do this, Lord. So she vowed a vow, or she, to me, made a commitment to the Lord. Amen. Say. A lot of times during stress, we rise up. A lot of times we pray. We let our guts all hang out. And then we make these commitments. And then when we get on the other side, we forget our commitment to Christ. Amen. Say. We're good. I got it now. I can handle it till the next ditch you drive into. Be careful doing that. You're going to get good at it. You have lots of ditches in your life. I want to avoid the ditch. How about you? Say. So Hannah was willing to relinquish everything she was asking for. She wanted to have a child, but she says, you know what? I'm willing to give up everything that I want. Praise God. I got to quit almost. It's almost communion time. Hannah was rebuked by the preacher. Watch this. It came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord. She's in the temple praying. Eli marked her mouth. I mean, he didn't have a Sharpie or nothing. He ain't doing that. Even though it wouldn't surprise me if some churches didn't do that. But anyway, that's another story. He noticed her mouth. He watched her. He was looking at her. And Hannah, she spoke in her what? So she's praying, but only nothing's coming out. Just her what is moving. It's okay to pray like that. It's okay to pray like that. Yes or no? But her voice wasn't coming out. So Eli thought she had been what? Drunk. Don't be a Christian or a preacher who's always dead ready to judge somebody. I want you to love people instead of wanting to judge them. Say. Give people the benefit of the doubt instead of jumping on them. Say. Preachers are experts at this. It's something I've had to fight at and I still have to fight it. I don't want to judge you. Many of you are better than me. Okay? But you still ain't good enough. Eli said, how long you gonna be drunk, woman? Can you imagine this poor woman already beat up and now the preacher jumping on her? Yes or no? I don't want people coming here who are hurting, leaving here worse than when they came. It's crazy. Put away your whiskey. Hannah answered, said, no, my Lord. I'm just of a sorrowful spirit. I'm broken. It's sad when even the preacher can't see brokenness. Sad. I've drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I've just been pouring out my heart before the Lord. Isn't it sad? Somebody's so messed up, so broken. Now they got to give explanation to why they even praying. When she should get a hand. Amen. Count not me to be a daughter of Satan. Isn't that crazy? She's in God's house. He's made her to feel like she's full of the devil. Etc. Keep going. Abundance of my complaint. Hannah's desperation. So what did she do? I got to fly now, Raj. I'm sorry. Hannah rested in the Lord. Then Eli answered, said, go in peace. God of Israel grant you your petition that you've asked. And she said, let your handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way, did eat, and her countenance was no more what? See, that's what rising up, praying will do. Even though you might have some opposition from other believers or the church or what have you, you stay on your course to handle your stress. Did you hear me? You're not crazy. What you're going through is rough. And that's what she did. She went her way believing that God would answer her prayer. She ate because she was at peace. She lifted up her countenance because now she put it in whose hands? In God's hands. That's where we need to stick that stress, guys. Hannah's prayer was answered. They rose up in the morning early, worshiped before the Lord, returned, came to their house, to Ramah. Elkanah knew Hannah had sex with his wife. The Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come, after Hannah conceived, she bare a son. She called his name Sammy. Samuel, because I've asked him of the Lord. I just love the name Sammy. I don't know. I just love that name, Sammy. Hannah honored her vow to God. The man Elkanah and all his house, they went up to offer to the Lord that yearly sacrifice. Time keeps moving on. But Hannah wouldn't go this time. She said to her husband, I ain't going up this time till the child is weaned. Then I'll bring him that he may appear before the Lord and stay there forever. And Elkanah said to his wife, do what seems good to you, tarry until you've weaned him. Only the Lord established his word. So the woman abode, gave her son suck. Until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with three bullocks and one ephah of flour, a bottle of wine. She brought him to the house of the Lord, to the same preacher in Shiloh. The child was young. They slew a bullock and they brought the child to Eli. And she said, oh, my Lord, always respectful, wasn't she? As thy soul lives, my Lord, I'm the woman that stood by here and prayed. And the Lord, you know, I'm the one that you called a drunk. She probably didn't say that. I would have. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore also I have what? Lent him to the Lord. He's my baby. But I'm going to follow through with my commitment that I made. And I'm going to give him to the Lord. And as long as he lives, he's going to be lent to the Lord. And Samuel worshiped the Lord right there with Eli the priest. This woman gave up her child. What a story, amen? Hannah prayed and she said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside. There is none like you. Neither is there any rock like our God." Wow. Hannah had five more kids. Say five. I can't believe she gave up her baby. Hey guys, listen. Beyond what you're going through now is a future. In your stress, what we learned today, rise up, just a little movement toward him. Pray. Don't worry about the fancy prayer. Pray your heart. As you do that, and the Lord touches you and helps you with commitments that you're making to him, follow through with those commitments. Amen. And you never know what the future is going to be. I know one thing. Gary Clark, though I have stress, I don't have the stress I used to have. I don't have the stress I used to have. Do you? How many would say that? I got some stress, but I don't have the stress I used to have. Can we say, raise some hands this morning? I've still got some mess, but I don't have the stuff I used to have. Amen. So just a few ideas. The Lord visited Hannah. She conceived, bare three sons, two daughters, and the child Samuel grew before the Lord. I got to quit, Raj. Can I quit? Is it okay? I think we did the message, didn't we? That ain't getting there. I'll look at them, and if I need to update you next week, I will. The bottom line, good things happened. Amen? I can't help but wonder, what's Penina saying now? You know, people that might not like me still pastoring because I remarried, because I made a commitment to the Lord that I wasn't going to be nasty with women in this town. You understand? Yes or no? I'm not going to live my life like that. I'm going to make a commitment. You people that are in relationships and you're not married, hey, I'm going to tell you something. Do as I did. A woman is worthy for you to make a commitment to her. She has value. You ain't the only one with value. I say that to women as well. So I made that commitment. But because I've been divorced, some people don't like that about me. You know what I say to them? Penina. Let's praise the Lord this morning for a good word. Good word this morning. Penina. Just spell my name right. Amen. Come on.